Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Hebrews, and we're in chapter 6. We trust you'll have your Bible open. Stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
God is in there. That's a good sign. Run to Jesus. Your Father will take you. Put a ring on your finger. Shoes on your feet. Robe around you. And kill the fatted calf. He loves, loves, loves His children. But He will not countenance their misbehavior. I've had the opportunity to watch this new movie called In His Image. And just when you go watch it, if you watch it, it's free. It's online. Just go inhisimage.com. It's fine. But it's more to the church than it is to the lost people, first of all. And I don't want to applaud somebody who countenanced the behavior that was so odious. So my biggest misgiving is a mom who still let that person not have any immediate consequences. So they went ahead and went through with all the nonsense. And I'm just saying it's crazy, crazy, crazy to look at the scriptures and see what God did. He let the prodigal go. And when he came to himself, he went home. We cannot be complicit in our kids' sin. So I say to you, if you bear thorns when you hear the word of God, that's telling, isn't it? Some people say, well, he won't tell me now. I'm going to push back hard. I'm going to say, well, if I can't have what I want, I'm going to dive back into the mud puddle. We've all done that. I remember one time when I was first right with the Lord in my teens that I had quit smoking. I was 17 years old and I was working at a gas station up by the Bob Evans on Trimble. The BP, it was Ohio back then. And I got stuck in the snow, and I was so mad because I had to walk. Why should I have to walk, you know, snow? I got stuck. I'm a Ohio boy. I'm not supposed to get stuck. So I had trunks all the way. I went and grabbed a pack of cigarettes, ripped it open, had me a smoke because, you know, I was mad. What a silly gesture, right? And yet that's what we do. We do it in other ways. You can fill in your blanks. What do you run to when you get angry and miffed? I say to you, this is not the bearing of thorns, but it could be if you can stay there. You know, the Bible says in verse 9, but we are persuaded of better things of you. He's not talking about the first part of that where he says herbs. He's saying we're persuaded better things of you than thorns. We know you're not a person who's going to react and bristle when I bring you the word. It's good to know. I tell you, this is a generation of kings. Everybody's critiquing every preacher and every jot and tittle. And you get up here and it's like you put yourself out there and you say what the Word of God says. And they say, well, I don't agree. Well, that's all right. I'm sure you'll find a church down the street that doesn't agree. And you can go be disagreeable with them. Because the Word of God's pretty clear. We need God's Word because it's all we've got. And we need it. And God knew that. He says, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. You see, salvation is not a one-time act. Born again is a one-time act. But God keeps saving us. Peter was on the boat. Step out. Come to me, Peter. He did. He was walking. He fell. Save me, Lord. Needed it again. You're going to need to be saved again and again and again. But not in the sense of salvation that is from your sin. He will save you from your sin. But you're going to need to be saved again and again through your life. But why was he persuaded of better things? Well, if you look over at chapter 10 in verses 32 through 34, he says, call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured great fight of affliction, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Isn't that good? He knew. He says, you guys were really solid. So did he have reason to be persuaded? Yeah, he did. But they did have a hitch, and that was legitimate, and it's okay. Your kids may have a hitch, and it's time to give them an answer for their hitch when they come. Well, I don't understand this. Well, that's okay. Let me ask you, what's your concern about that? You investigate. If you can't answer it, you say, listen, I agree. That's a thorny question. Let me talk to you. We're going to go find an answer, but let's just leave that on the shelf for a little bit. Teach them to be patient. The Bible says in verse 10 of chapter 6, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love." See, there it is in a nutshell. The stuff that they did, affiliating with the apostle who was in jail and when he was in his bonds. He says, "Which you have showed." Do people see Jesus in you? Do you show your faith? I mean, is that something people know of you? What do they know? When they see you, what's the first thing they think? I hope they think Christian. And if it's not that, you need to move it up on the queue, okay? Because I get it. Some of us, we have other things we're known for. If we're a great, you know, salesman at work or something, we might be, "Oh, he's a great salesman." Well, then you need to kind of think in terms of how you can kind of flip that. Because this day and age, we can't be undercover Christians anymore. Can't afford that. We need some folks to stand up and what? Be counted. I heard a preacher say the other day in the radio, he was being interviewed, and he said he didn't know if it's an issue of personal preference whether the church closes or doesn't close. He said it's okay if they choose to be online for their messages. But you know what's funny is as the interview unfolded, they began to talk, a call-in program it was, and they called in and they said, "What do you think about children, doing remote learning?" And he went on all, and I love the guy, okay, but this really troubled me. He didn't see the irony, but he said, "I think it's very unlikely they can get as much out of remote learning." You see where I'm going? So it's okay for the sheep to be remote learning, but the kids, no. They're both being deprived of a meal and of full engagement. And we don't need less engagement in the church today. We need more. So when we as the preachers are saying, "Let's shut the doors," we need to be mindful that we'll have to answer to the great shepherd of the sheep for that. I'm sorry, but it's true. And it breaks my heart because I don't like having to stand in this day. I liked it better about 2 years ago when everything was okay. We got 3 services a week and everything's easy and I know what's on the agenda and I've got my passages laid out for me. I don't know what I'm preaching on from 1 week to the next anymore. Because we have so much that we have to deal with in real time right now because we are really using our muscles for Jesus right now. That's why we're here in this passage, because he says God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love and your work which you showed toward his name, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. He says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Underline the words "full assurance of hope," because that's the whole point of this chapter. He's trying to get you and me, inadvertently, but the readers in real time, to a place of full assurance of hope. Do you have full assurance of hope? If you do, then you're doing pretty well right now, even though the world's going crazy. If you don't have full assurance of hope, you might be wringing your hands and wondering, "Oh my goodness, the sky is falling." Wanting nothing more than to pull over your covers and, you know, crawl back into bed and stay there. It's not fun to go to the restaurant anymore. It's not fun to go to the store when they say, "Put the mask on." I can't even drive up to Cleveland without this sign blazing saying, "Masks up in public, phones down in your car." It's like I'm being parented every day. You have no sense of your own. You cannot make your own decision. You cannot make a wise one. And that's evidently what our governor is doing, is making a wise one by telling everybody to go home at 10 and stay there till 5 because COVID's really bad then. Our curfew. Shutting our businesses down. Well, that was smart. Okay, yeah, I get it. Let's just shut everything down. Let's destroy our economy. I'm telling you, this is the world we're living in. And we know it's wrong. But we also know that God had to make this world a little icky for the saints. The world might say, "Oh yeah, I'm so happy to have my mask on and they're going to send me a check and I'm going to get my mortgage paid off. I'm going to get a monthly stipend from the government." Everybody gets the same, you know, kind of money. They don't realize that that's fine until the money runs out. Because the money runs out when people who have businesses can't afford to hire anybody. And what I'm saying to you is we're living in a day where in the past 10 months, we've watched our country become icky.
And it never was like this before, ever, ever. There were times when we worried about our country with wartime and, you know, maybe some uprising in the streets in the 60s. But, man, this is a whole new level right now. We're wondering if we're going to make it through January right now. Because if January hits and things don't straighten out, oh, my. Kamala is going to be quite the president. He says, I want you to get to the place where you have full assurance of hope. Do you see why I did this? This is Thanksgiving. You're not looking at the world. I want you to have full assurance of hope today. And it's not hope based in anything on this world. See, Christian hope is not hope so. Christian hope is assured, a certainty, that something that God said is going to happen will happen. And it all the things God has said is going to happen are pretty awesome. And when you know those are yours, you will not be moved by this world. And as one writer of a recent book said, we will not be silenced. We cannot be silenced. This is why it's blowing my mind that churches are shutting down 100%. I'll tell you, if you've got a mega church, break it down into small groups and give up the reins and let some other people do some stuff. Start getting creative because we've got to meet as the church. I mean, I'm a little bit blessed to have a smaller group because I didn't have to worry about breaking everything up. But it's time to get creative. We did when we went out and preached on the steps in the cold. I'm out there freezing to death. You know what? I didn't even get sick. I mean, the wind's blowing. I mean, Toby's out there picking up cameras that are blowing over for me. It's like we're trying to get this done. So everybody go to church. And then finally we said we need to go in. And there were tears in people's eyes when we went into the church. Why? Because you didn't know how much you missed it until you got it back. They're taking you and me and saying, we want you to not meet. Listen, they're allowed to have strip clubs in some states, and they're closing churches. There's your world. Why? Because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. They don't like truth because it's a world of lies. From the Green New Deal to global warming to anti-fossil fuel, which is kind of all in the same little box, to overpopulation, to COVID, which is a nasty flu, to closing the schools down, to media saying that one man is a president and not even investigating anything about the alternative things that are going on behind the scenes. This is the day. Lie after lie after lie. And the Bible says God will send that latter generation strong delusion that they would believe the lie. It says, we desire that every one of you, verse 11, would show the same diligence. What's he saying? The same diligence as you used to show. Do you remember when you used to love Jesus more? Maybe you don't. That'd be good. But maybe you do. And maybe it's time to go back, like it says in Revelation. Remember. Return. Repent. Because that's what he's saying here. You guys got off and you got all kind of, you know, bound up because you thought maybe Jesus couldn't be your high priest. It's Melchizedek. Okay. He's after the Melchizedekian line. He precedes Levi. And he says, that's your short answer. But I need you to know that you have really done a very bad faux pas here. You have misstepped in a huge way. And it was very, very precarious because what you're doing is you're setting not only yourself up, but your loved ones and the people who watch your life. Do you know it's important for us to realize we are not living in isolation? People are watching us. So it's very important to realize that while we're on this earth, God wants us to what? Hebrews 11. By faith, we obtain a good report of those around us. We obtain a good testimony. We get them to see that faith is the substance, it's the substrate of everything we hope for. And it's the evidence, that's our lives, living it out in front of the world, evidence of things not seen. When we live it out, they say, I can't see what you're seeing, but I see you believe it. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.